So I'm sorry, this, I was remiss in not introducing everyone to Dr. Coward, who has taken the podium. He's Assistant Professor of Urology at UNC Department of Urology and Director of the Male Reproductive Medicine and Surgery Facility there, as well as UNC Fertility. And he'll be running this session. Matt, I'm sorry.
All right, thanks. So we're going to change gears. Session two is going to be on erectile dysfunction after radical pelvic surgery. And I'm going to start this session with another case. So this is a case of a 77-year-old male patient who presents to you as a new patient for follow-up rectal cancer, treated at an outside hospital 2 years prior. He's currently NED and asymptomatic. He's well-appearing and exercises daily. He has stage 2 rectal adenocarcinoma, treated in 2015 with chemotherapy and radiation, followed by an open low anterior resection, and that was in 2016. He's also got diabetes and hypertension and surgical history significant for bilateral inguinal hernia repairs with mesh. He's on metformin, lisinopril, and aspirin, and on exam has a BMI of 24, is healthy, well-appearing, with an unremarkable exam overall. So as you're finishing the visit, he complains of never having had a satisfactory erection for intercourse after his LAR 2 years ago. So this is just something to think about. We'll return to this case at the end of the session. So Dr. Lipschultz is going to give the next talk. He's professor of urology in the Scott Department of Urology and chief of the Division of Male Reproductive Medicine and Surgery at Baylor in Houston. And he's going to speak on current strategies for preserving erectile function in the prostate cancer patient.
Thank you.
Dr. Lipschultz.
Thank you. So although the session was focusing on pelvic surgery, I chose to focus my talk on the patient with prostate cancer, since this was going to be a urology session, but certainly it will address in some ways your case. These are my disclosures, and nothing affects what I'm going to talk about today. In the US, in the data that I found from 2010 from the American Cancer Society Surveillance Research Program, there were about 250,000 men diagnosed with prostate cancer in the United States. It's estimated that about half of these men are going to undergo radical pelvic surgery, a radical prostatectomy, for definitive local therapy. 72% of these men, however, are unable to achieve a natural erection, an unassisted erection, sufficient for penetration approximately 5 years after their surgery. And if you do the math, this translates into about 75,000 new patients each year who will suffer from ED following radical prostatectomy. So why is this number so high? The answer is due to neuropraxia. And neuropraxia is temporary damage of the cavernous nose, so important for erections, that occurs during the surgery. And it may take up to 3 years for normal nerve function to recover. Neuropraxia can be caused by several things, including just mechanically induced nerve stretching during surgery, thermal damage to the nerves caused by nearby electrocautery, or ischemia of the nerves themselves. And it is important because neuropraxia results in decreased penile oxygenation and endothelial cell dysfunction. These then combine to cause two important impacts on erectile function. One is venous leak, where the penis fills but cannot trap the blood, to its leaking out through the draining venous venules, and secondary due to arterial insufficiency. The question then comes up, are we treating men too late after prostatectomy? The incidence of venous leak occurring following radical prostatectomy has been shown to be time dependent, and is about 50% at 1 year if the man has not been on some type of a rehabilitation protocol. The highest risks for ED following radical prostatectomy, among other things, include commencement of penile rehabilitation therapy greater than 6 months following their surgery. So we have to question about the timing of penile rehabilitation, because the lack of rehabilitation protocol tends to lead to poor outcomes. This is a study looking at 19 men having undergone bilateral nerve sparing surgery. They all had good erections prior to surgery, and none of them underwent any type of penile rehabilitation. This is a very interesting study because these men agreed to have their corpora, the erectile tissue of the penis, biopsied at the time of their surgery and then anywhere from 2 to 12 months later. What was found was that at 2 months, there was a significant decrease in healthy, smooth muscle and elastic fibers, so important for a normal erection, and an increase in collagen, which does not allow neural stimulation. At 12 months, 60% increase in collagen, and a 65% decrease in healthy elastic fibers in the corporal smooth muscle, rendering these individuals unresponsive to any type of therapy. And we do have multiple types of therapy we can offer these men if we want to try to preserve their erectile function after cancer surgery. We have oral therapy, as you all know, with the PDE5 inhibitors, Viagra, Levitra, Cialis, to name a few. There's intraurethral treatment with prostaglandin E1, marketed as MUSE, or a medicated urethral system for erections. We can use vacuum devices to bring healthy oxygenated blood into the penis, stretch the corporal tissue. We can do injection therapy, where we inject the penis, the individual injects himself with vasodilators, either commercially sold as Edex or Cavraject, or made through a compounding pharmacy as Trimix, or a mixture of three vasodilators. And lastly, we can offer him, as you've heard, hormonal therapy. We at Baylor have a preservation protocol. I'm not going to go into it in any detail right now. It involves adding additional therapy throughout the 1 year postoperatively to try to allow that individual to start functioning earlier than he would if we didn't treat. I'll go into this in a little more detail in a second. But I think it's important to note that we are using PDE5 inhibitors, even starting before surgery and then resuming after surgery with any of the products that are currently available. I mention this because the guidelines that Dr. Coward will be commenting on, the AUA guidelines of 2018, include this statement: men who desire preservation of erectile function after treatment for prostate cancer by radical prostatectomy or radiotherapy should be informed that early use of PDE5 inhibitors post-treatment may not improve spontaneous unassisted erectile function. Now, as I told you, we are not using solely PDE5 inhibitors. We're doing a multimodality rehabilitation program. Yet we have to deal with this guideline from the AUA. The guideline itself is supported by data such as this from Montorsi in 2008, where he showed the comparison of giving everyone nightly vardenafil or Levitra versus just giving it on demand. And what he showed was that there was no difference in the population of patients whether they took it proactively or whether they took it only on demand. However, what I'm asking for is not singular treatment with a PDE5 inhibitor, but combination therapy. And what Montorsi himself showed in a separate study, he looked at two groups of patients. These were 15 patients who were started on penile injection therapy, or ICI, within 1 month after their radical prostatectomy, and then started on Viagra at 4 months. He compared these to 12 patients who were started only on Viagra after 4 months, but never had combination therapy with injections. What he found was that the patients with combination therapy had an 82% response to a PDE5 inhibitor at 6 months, sufficient for penetration, while only 52% who had taken Viagra alone responded at 6 months. We also heard from Dr. Morgenthaler about the importance of testosterone. It's also important in terms of its actual impact on penile tissue, because with a deficiency in testosterone, we see increased penile tissue shrinkage, increased fat deposits, decreased in penile blood flow, and decreased in nitric oxide, so important for normal erectile function. We know that hypogonadal men with erectile dysfunction can restore erectile function using only testosterone therapy alone in some cases. We also know that testosterone improves responses to all the PDE5 inhibitors and should be considered in hypogonadal men post-radical prostatectomy, as Dr. Morgenteller mentioned. Now, at Baylor, we have an erection preservation program, which is early multimodality therapy. It's not single drug therapy. And this is what happens. We start the patients 1 week prior to surgery on an oral PDE5 inhibitor, as well as Muse, so that they get used to treatment before they have surgery. We then, 1 month after surgery, add an increased dose of a PDE5 inhibitor on an as-needed basis to attempt normal erections, and also the use of a vacuum device. And then at 3 months after surgery, we replace testosterone if their PSA is undetectable and their testosterone is low, and also consider injection therapy. What we found, looking at our first 160 patients retrospectively, was that 37% of patients were able to achieve erections sufficient for penetration at 6 months, and that those on combination therapy, that is Viagra every night and Muse 3 times a week, were much more likely to achieve an erection sufficient for penetration with assisted PDE5 inhibitors at 3 months when compared to those men not receiving this therapy, with an odds ratio in favor of combination therapy of 4.9. Well, what we found, I think, which was especially interesting, was the significant impact of the female partner on these men's successful outcome. All the partners of our patients who were available filled out this female sexual function inventory, FSFI, and what we found was that preoperative scores on this female sexual function inventory predicted which men would proceed with injection therapy at 3 months, and more importantly, predicted which men were able to obtain erections at 6 months. So in conclusion, erection preservation with PDE5 inhibitors may prevent cavernous tissue damage that occurs during the period of neural recovery. We've shown this in the biopsy studies. Early erection preservation with multimodality therapy following radical prostatectomy will lead to preservation of healthy cavernosal smooth muscle. Delayed intervention is a poor prognostic indicator for return of erectile function after surgery. Testosterone plays an important role in penile nerve and erection preservation. The female factor cannot be overestimated, and it's often underappreciated. And lastly, despite these data, questions remain whether early intervention plays a significant role in successful erection outcomes. Thank you.